Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Quick throw coming near side. It is complete. Tough coverage there. Justin Ross, no, incomplete. He had it initially, but could not bring in the catch. Jalen Johnson, I think, in there to punch it away.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. And that play, Jalen Johnson breaking up a pass, that is what we've settled on as our hit of the game. So that is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. Estwing.com. I've got an Estwing hammer, and there are times I want to take it to the television. You know what I mean? difficult
to my
watch
head.
A game where the greatest hit was a pass breakup, but that's what we've settled on.
I tell you
on.
What, Sanborn hit Donovan Smith there on a toss crack. That could have been the greatest hit. Sanborn, when Donovan Smith, the Chiefs' left tackle, went out of the game. That was about the only cheering I did during the game.
and he had a pick, right?
Yes, Sanborn? He did have a pick.
That was a nice play by him.
It was.
That was a gift. If it was from Mahomes, that'd be a lot cooler, right?
Okay, it was from Blake Gabbert, but it still counts.
So it shows you how much a quarterback does, how much of a multiplier one guy can be when he's out there on the field.
Yep.
You know, help.
It's just interesting. You know, we go back to the game and you watch it and you're just like, the Bears, the defense, they do stop the Chiefs on the first drive, which we all forget about. I forgot about it. I'm rewatching a little bit of it here. And they come off the 2-yard line after that punt. And early on, I remember thinking this, watching this play, Pat, I wondered if you noticed it. On a 2nd and 5, the Chiefs came up with 8 or 9 guys in a box. And you thought that, with some time on the play clock, that Justin would check out of it. But he just ran the running back right into that front. And you thought to yourself, man, that's bad. Like, he's not seeing the fact that we cannot run that play against that front.
Yeah, so I got a question for you then. Does he have the opportunity to do that? Is he allowed to do that? Because I did. I saw that. I'm like, what are you doing? You got to check to something there. Play action, something. You get it, the quick screen we hate or something. Just something out there. Something to – you're running a play that's not going to work. I guess what they call it now. You can a play now. We never really – did we have the word – we never can plays, but we didn't call it canning plays, but you could have a check with me or whatever. We had a check with me, and I'm shocked that – does he have the option to do that? You know what I mean? Is that something that's on his plate, or is that too much thinking? sorry, that was too easy.
Like, you know, only they would know. Only they would know.
Yeah, I know.
That.
That's what I'm,
And maybe at that point in the game, second and manageable. Maybe they just want to stay at third and manageable. And with that young offensive line, they just said, just run it no matter what look you get there, right? But man, that's not how you win games on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's just a problem when you watch something like that. For me, I'm looking at all these guys loaded into that box, and it just reminds me of all the years we played for the Chicago Bears, Pat, and no matter the look, we were going to run the ball.
Yeah.
Let's try Josh. Josh is in Plainfield. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's up, guys? Listen, I got a couple things here. First of all, this is not going to stop until the McCaskies say enough's enough. I can't believe they're not sitting in some hotel room or some mansion with that old lady watching this and not saying enough of this crap. All right, this is ridiculous. Look, this is Trestman all over again. I'm 52 years old. I watched you guys play. Believe me, I've been through the dick of stuff. This is horrible. You're talking about a new stadium and all this crap. Now, here's my thing, and I leave it with this. I need you guys who played pro football, okay, to come out and say it. Don't be scared. Justin Field sucks. Just say it. Stop saying, oh, this and that. He maybe this and that. Does he have the opportunity? Just say it. He sucks. Enough of this crap. People are open. You see people are open. Olin, you called it out. The tight end, what's his name? Said it on TV. They did the replay. 85 was open. Throw the ball. It's enough. Just say it, guys. You guys play the sport. Don't be scared of him. Say it. Justin Field sucks. Thank you. I hang up and I listen.
it's the frustration you would expect, right, Pat?
Yeah.
You would expect that frustration after that loss, after what is it now, 13 or 14 in a row losses. Mm-hmm. I don't know for you, Pat, but for me, knowing the amount of work that these guys put in out there at the building, just saying something like that is just not my style, right? I'll point out. When he's not playing well, as we said earlier in the show, he's not playing well right now. If you're making a decision right now, he's probably not your guy next year. But I don't know if I'd ever find myself talking about a guy trying to make it in the NFL like that.
Yeah, my deal was that I feel when I'm on the radio, I will say something. It'll be critical, but it won't be anything that the coach wouldn't say. You know what I mean? Like, you can say that. You got to hit the open receiver. You got to make. I'm not going to go ranting at him and say, fire him. You're the worst thing ever. But he's got to play better. There's no doubt about it. He's being coached, or he's being told to play better. I mean, so he's not hearing anything that I'm going to say, and I'm guessing the same thing with you, Olin, that a coach is not telling him. You know, if you have a bad game, a coach is going to tell you have a bad game. He's not going to go off and, you know, run you down to the media and out loud to everybody else. But a coach has the right to run him down, not run him down, to coach him down or coach him up, either way you want to put it. But, you know, I'm not saying anything the coach isn't telling you. You know, it's on the tape.
You got to watch the tape, right, Molly and Pat? And look, the first third down, I got it on right here. And a guy who, like you guys know, a young offensive lineman who I had in my gym, Jatari Carter, on the first third down, Justin Fields has no time because he gets run over by Mike Gannon for the Kansas City Chiefs. So that is also honest. That is also on this film. And until you see the all 22, until you see the sideline, until you know what the coach is asking him to do, until you know what the blocking was like, what the route running was like, you just don't really know. But to be fair to the caller who we just had also, there is enough evidence now that says Justin Field eventually has to prove that he can win games from the pocket by processing information.
Yep.
I'm just curious, and I don't want to be picking on Nate Davis because I think that we lacked information on him, and there were a lot of people that were hinting at the idea that he doesn't like the game and they were unhappy with him in Tennessee, and they didn't want to keep him, and the Bears went out and got him. But I am, honest to God, just curious. Is his issue right now, is that like him not being ready to play? Because here is a guy that you gave a lot of money to, and you brought him in, and you're down linemen. And I know he missed time this week, but is he not in shape enough? Is that the concern now with him? Because he was active for the game, but he didn't play in the game. And I'm just kind of astounded that they put that kind of money into a guy. And I get it. You know, he lost his mom, and there are a lot of things that go with that. And it is never easy for a man, for anyone, to lose their mom. But is this a conditioning issue? Is that why we didn't see him start today?
You tell me, Olin.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. You know, Pat, it's to the bigger point, Molly, what does this offense look like if the offensive line they envisioned to be out there was out there?
Yeah.
Right? What does it look like with Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Cody Whitehair, Nate Davis, Darnell Wright? Does it look different? Is Justin Fields a little more comfortable? That's what you're wondering, right? And then it just goes back again to your offseason program, to getting ready for the year, to trying to keep guys healthy. What are they doing leading up to the season? And they have to do a self-evaluation of why are three of my starters out? What happened here that I lost three guys early on, and why isn't the plan working, right? So as far as Nate Davis goes, I think if you turn the film on last week, I don't know where Nate Davis is with his conditioning. Yeah. But as when you turn the film on last week, I think they were comfortable with Carter going into the game. I thought he played well last week. I thought he didn't look overwhelmed. And besides that first third down today, I didn't think he was overwhelmed again. He did get run over on that first third down. If you played football long enough in the NFL, you will get run over.
Yeah, I'm with you. Maybe it's, you know, I guess this is speculating, but maybe Jatari Carter has earned the right to play. And, you know, that's maybe what's going on. You know, we all grieve differently, so I don't know what's going on with that. But Jatari Carter, he's been a little bit of a bright spot at that right guard position. And it's unfortunate that Nate Davis, that one of your big signings has come in and it hasn't worked out with all the personal situations and not being able to be there all offseason. Is it because maybe he didn't practice all offseason? He's not that comfortable to step right back in after being away? And they just feel more comfortable with Jatari Carter going in there? I'm not sure. But, you know, if you're going to talk about somebody as a young player that's taking the most of his opportunity, I think Jatari Carter is doing a pretty good job.
And the other one that kind of stood out to me is at one point they said that they asked Eberflus, who is the leader of his defense, and without hesitating, he said Tremaine Edmonds, right? Now, that guy's barely been here. I mean, he's played for Buffalo. They gave him a lot of money, but we haven't seen a lot of him. And it's difficult, I would imagine, to be the new guy and also kind of the leader. Now, you know, he's still a young man, but he's got some age on some of the guys that are playing around him. I just wonder, I believe he left the game as well. I think he left at some point. And I'm not sure he came back, to be honest with you. But it seems like if anyone can go down, they go down on this team.
Yeah, it's so hard to talk about. It's so hard to define culture. It's so hard to define leadership in the NFL. It's just so hard to talk about when you watch a team on film. And we said on this show, we said how many times? When the film says you have a culture problem, you probably have a culture problem. So that's what their film has been saying to us the first 3 weeks of this season. And going back to when you looked at everything they went through on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and they came out and one guy said everything was fine. Mind you, he was a 38-year-old general manager who's the first time in his second year as being a general manager. No one was sitting next to him to also tell you that everything is fine here. No one is panicking. Well, if no one is panicking, I want to see you all sitting there together telling us that no one is panicking, right? So then you go through that roster and you say, well, can they circle the wagons? Can they get through a week like this where there's a ton of information out there where they can't comment on the defensive coordinator, where there's leaks coming out now of what it was? And then, Pat, you look at the roster and say, well, who's going to lead them through this? Who's going to make the jokes on the field? Can you imagine, Pat, if we were out there and Justin Fields said that about Getsy? What a field day we would have had at stretch.
Oh,
right?
Man.
We had a field day there talking about it, laughing about it. You know, we would have commented on it every time we were in the huddle. But that kind of stuff helps you get through it. Helps you get over it. Kind of reminds everybody, look, man, we're all in this together. We all got to move in the same direction. We're all just trying to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's get this thing right. And I'll be honest with you, Pat. We talked about the years that how many years we went through losing here, me and you. We went through losing here. We went through when we were really bad. We went through general managers. We went through coaches. We went through drafts. How long it takes if you don't have that multiplier quarterback, how long it takes to learn how to win in the NFL, to learn how to get the guys, everyone moving in the right direction. It takes a long time. When you look at this roster, Pat, you tell me who you think that is that circled the wagons this week.
There's nobody, and it should be number one. And I was thinking about, I went back and looked during the last break. In 05, it made me think about, you were talking about leadership and taking ownership of your team. Remember when Mike Brown said, I think he said, we're just terrible. It's like we suck. You know, we started 1-3 that year in 05, and that's when we made the change. We went on to win 7 games in a row. But I remember reading that and hearing about that because I didn't hear him say it. Mm-hmm. And I looked at, and you know, I'm like, whoa, he's right. He actually said it.
And it was funny because it didn't offend you because he was right.
Right, exactly.
Right, he was right. And that's one thing when you talk about that and you talk about what Justin Fields said this week. That's what we're saying. It shouldn't offend anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He was right.
Yep.
Right? How do you fix it? How do we get this moving in the right direction? It's a great point by you, Pat. But it's just going to be very interesting watching this team try to develop because I'm telling you right now, Pat, and this is why we're always on here and this is why we're so passionate about it, I have seen this movie before.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not a good ending.
I know all those years you're talking about, I was a beat writer following the team at the time. But the thing is,
like, yeah, and to TJ's, you wouldn't even buy a drink.
No, I was always looking for a drink.
He was getting on Big Cat's tab. He was getting on Big Cat's tab is what he was doing.
We were all on Big Cat's tab.
I know.
but I mean, like, you never allowed that situation, either of you, to, like, impact your professional performance. Like, Olin, you were making Pro Bowls in some of those years. And, Pat, you emerged as the best long snapper in the league. I remember writing a story saying that unfortunately you can't ride that to a Super Bowl if only you had been a quarterback. I'm wondering if you're seeing guys that are somehow conquering this, that are somehow really playing professional good football, despite everything falling apart around him. And today, everything fell apart around everyone.
Yeah, today to me is just a game. It got out of hand, right? So you want to watch the tape. And when I do go back and watch the tape, I want to see who's playing hard at the end of the game. I want to see who's playing hard through it all. But sometimes that happens. Like you talked about that 49ers game, Olin. I can still remember that vividly, sitting on that sideline just thinking, oh, my God, get this over with. This is just awful. And that happens. But then you've got to look at guys and say, all right, let's evaluate how he comes in on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for the next week. Is he going to prep hard? Is he going to be out there at practice doing everything he can? Is he going to bring the energy, bring the juice, as the Bears say they didn't have the juice? So there's a lot of evaluation that can come through the games like this, but sometimes it's just hard. It happens. They got their butts kicked, but you got to figure out who are the guys that want to rebound from this and go back into that building and work and try to beat the Denver Broncos.
You know, Mully, when I hear you ask that question, I hear you saying, well, we've been talking about here for a few weeks now is who are these guys who's going to take the next step? Who are these guys who are going to become Pro Bowl type players? I'll be honest with you, when I watched today, I saw Jalen Johnson competing out there.
Yeah.
I saw him competing early and often. I saw him getting after guys. I think he's a guy that possibly could. Brisker possibly could. I don't know. Jaquan Brisker this year, I don't know. Maybe they should keep him out a week or two, and he can get those bumps and bruises cleaned up, and then he can come back and play more physical football, right? Obviously, DJ Moore. I think Darnell Wright's a guy who has the talent. Now, of course, when you're going against Chris Jones and you duck your head, you're in trouble. I'd like to see him get a chip there on that play, but I think those are the kind of guys, when I look at this, when you say to me that, I say, okay, you know, in 2000, we took Urlacher and Mike Brown. Then all of a sudden, they got Grossman, Tillman, and Briggs. And then in 2004, they took Tommy Harris, Tank Johnson, Bernard Berry, and Nathan Vasher. These are all guys who became very good football players, right? And that's how long it took to build a winning team. And that's how much talent you have to get in the building if you can't find yourself a Hall of Fame or a Pro Bowl, an all-pro type quarterback.
Yep.
Yeah, it is difficult without a quarterback. 312-644-6767. Let's try Mark in Genoa City. Hey, Mark.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
Okay, you guys have like covered everything and talked me out of the whole thing I want to talk about. I have all the faith in the world in Justin Fields, but I think the whole coaching staff sucks. I don't think Eberflus has a – oh, excuse me.
Oh, hold on a second. All right.
There you go.
We'll get,
that's
we'll
your
get
kind of party. That's my kind of party.
We'll get all to right, the coaching man. Staff when we come back. We've got to take a quick time out.
That's not what he said, though, Mully. He didn't say the coaching staff.
Yeah. Olin, he didn't say sucks.
Yeah.
The Great Clips Postgame Show is presented by Tullamore Dew. We'll be right back on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Fields on a slant. Moore's got it for the touchdown. And DJ Moore got a clip there on that
catch. We're
back
with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips,
but finally
it's
going to
be great.
Positive
presented
for
by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here's your hosts, you can count on the score. Patrick Manley and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew, and we had a lively exchange as we try to figure out who's hot and who's cold. That, of course, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911, and we have determined that there's not really much hot going on, and the cold would be, I believe, everyone on offense, top to bottom, even poor DJ Moore who caught a pass. So we're not neglecting the coaches. For a second there, I thought maybe they were going to give up 70 points. That hasn't happened since 1966, but it did happen today. Miami putting a heavy load on Denver and Sean Payton as they have to play the Bears next. So the Bears could probably get 70 out of that. I think they may have scored 37 points thus far this season. Maybe a couple more games and they can get to the amount of points that Miami scored today.
What's worse? Would you rather be Denver right now or the Bears?
Is there Is there any other option?
Is Jeff an option?
Yeah, exactly.
Answer C.
Well, we'll take the, you know, the poison, please. That is a – I mean, here's the thing. Sean Payton already started blaming the quarterback before the season even began and the bad coaching he had previously. So it has nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
That's awful. That was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting next week, right?
Well,
we go from
that's the Super Bowl,
you know,
that's
the standard in the NFL to the Denver Broncos.
Yep. There you go.
We go, so it'll be interesting to see where the Bears, they're going to see where they stack. You know, Green Bay's kind of showing us already, right? Green Bay's looks like they're going to be a middle of the pack team, right? They pulled out a win today, but they only scored 18 points. They put 38 on the Bears in week one. They only scored, I think, 23 in week two. So it's not like they are juggernauts like they looked in week one against the Chicago Bears defense and against the Chicago Bears team. And where is this team right now? And the only thing you can really judge when you look at this team is, are they getting better, Pat, week to week? What kind of work are they putting in? Can the coaches get them moving in the right direction? Or can the building as a whole get these players playing a little better football to where they can compete against a team that just, I think, Mully, they came out as underdogs. The Bears did.
Yes.
Vegas already has them as underdogs.
Yeah. What's going to be interesting, guys, is going to be next week's postgame. You know, we could have a lot of answers, or even more questions. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we get some of that stuff answered that they can go in and beat a team that's, you know, should be beatable. You know, they're not a very good team out there in Denver. So next week's post game, as interesting as this is and embarrassing as this loss was, next week, I mean, it could be even worse. And that's kind of scary because we don't have the answers here. We don't feel like they're getting better. Olin, you're asking, are they getting any better? No. The answer is no. I feel like they're worse than they were last year. And then if you go lose to a Denver team that doesn't look that great, that's going to say a lot about this coaching staff and this team that they have not gotten any better. That's the answer to that right there.
You think we're good now. Give us a week.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, if you looked at the rosters, if you looked at everything the Bears went through, although today was terrible, are you completely shocked after you went through the game and matched them up side by side, coach by coach, right, player by player, where they're what direction they're going through, and then what they lost – their defensive coordinator, the quarterback said, I basically want to run the ball. I don't want to stay in the pocket. And obviously that's what Spagnuolo paid for. So when you go through that today, although disgusting and horrible to watch, not at all shocking.
No, we talked about it in the pregame, right? I mean, we all said that our joke was, are they going to cover the spread?
Yeah.
And once that game started, I think the first 5 minutes were like, nope, not going to happen.
You know, interesting. You know, we talked about earlier, Mully, we asked about what should they do at defense corner, and we talked about bringing an older guy to bounce ideas off of, right? And would they move John Hoke in there so Coach Flews could go back and do situational football? Well, if you look at the offense and you look at who Justin Fields is in the room with, and there are a lot of young, great offensive minds out there in the NFL, but Getsy is 39 and Janoco is 35, and both of them are trying to develop this quarterback, Justin Fields, and not doing a very good job of it right now.
I believe Greg Roman is on the street. He's taking a break from coaching, and he's the guy that coached San Francisco at one point with Colin Kaepernick. He coached Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. And I'm not saying you change your whole offense or anything like that, but maybe you bring a guy in as a consultant that might have some ideas of how to, you know, they spent a lot of time on the broadcast talking about how the Bears, you know, had converted their offense to take advantage of all the things that Fields can do well. And then they went the other way. And they kept saying early on, until the whole blowout kicked in, they kept saying they just went a little too far. They just overreacted a little bit, as if, you know, you could somehow straighten that up. Well, it doesn't seem so this morning or tomorrow morning when we finally start talking about it on our show. I don't know how to feel about it, frankly. I mean, they clearly did something wrong. They did overreact and overshoot at some level.
Olin, I want to go back real quick. I was just looking this up while you guys were talking there because it just struck my mind that they played the Bucks last week, and I look on the sideline. You know who's there? Tom Moore.
Yeah, I remember seeing him.
Yeah, it's been 45 years in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, you know, he's old, right?
But I looked at their coaching staff, and I was like, this guy's still alive. That's actually
You know? But there's nothing wrong with having
good for them.
Yeah, to have a surly old man that has his opinion. You don't have to do what he's saying, but, you know, to have that guy in there, I think that's a strength to a staff when you have a person like that in there.
Yeah, and it's interesting, right, when you talk about things like that, Mully and Manley, because me and you, all three of us have been around football teams for a long time. And the thing that we don't get, and the thing I was wondering about watching that game is, what is everybody really saying in that building, right? We've been through this a lot, Pat. We won't name any names, any quarterbacks, any coaches, but we've been in meetings and be like, this guy is terrible and he can't read a defense. And then you go to wide receiver room and they think something different. Then you go to the tight end room and every room you go to, it's not their fault. Right? The O-line room always will sit on the fact that if we would have ran the ball more, we would have won the game, right? We'll sit on that fact until the day you die, right? So it's just interesting. I'd like to know what they're all actually saying in that building, what they're actually saying about how they can fix what they have going on. Because like you know, for the first time, like we talked about earlier, I listened to these interviews this week because of what happened between Justin Fields and Getsy, and really I didn't hear anything about how you were going to fix it. I just heard a lot about Getsy's pretty good at word salads himself, like Coach Nagy, and he just talked a lot about he's a high character guy and he wants to be a man of character. And I didn't even know what that meant, right? We're talking about him playing quarterback, obviously. Right. Everybody in there wants to be a man of character. I don't even know where that came from, but it's just kind of an interesting thing for me to, on the outside looking in, for a guy who, I don't know how you feel, Pat, who's been in there before through these situations and been in through before when everyone is bailing and jumping ship and saying it's not my fault and some guys are working hard and some guys aren't. I'd like to know what they actually think in that building. We'll never know, and all we have is the film.
Yeah.
312-644-6767. Max is in the South Suburbs. Hey, Max.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, you know what the best? I'm going to tell you one thing. McCaskey's will never sell because whatever their financial, you know, whatever. Each team in the league gets $330 million every March 20th. So being in the club, you're getting $330 million. Why would you sell at that point in time? The other comment I have, they're down 41-3. Or 41-0, they kick a field goal. What is that? It means nothing. You know what? And if they didn't call the dogs off, they would have scored 70 like Miami did today. And the other comment I got: the fans are the punchline. That's the problem. Thank you so much
for going back and putting up with it. Is that what you're suggesting? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, he's gone. I got to tell you, I mean, it just felt today like just a kind of a waste of your time.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel contractually obliged to watch the game because we're going to talk about it. But there was a point there I just wanted to walk out. I just had no interest. It was deflating. You know, you felt like this is harming me watching this nonsense.
And Olin, it's embarrassing. You mentioned earlier, we played for the Bears a long time, played a lot of games, wore that helmet, were in that building, and it's not fun watching it at all. I mean, I couldn't believe at halftime. I'm like, wait, there's another half of this? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's over by then, and it's not been fun since the 10 years since I've retired to see what's going on, to not get this fixed. And Olin, you mentioned it takes a long time to get it right, but you know, I go back to it just because I'm so loyal to him. Lovey Smith, they fired a man that won 10 games.
Yep.
And that to me is a huge mistake, and it's all over Twitter and social media about doing that. But you know, it shouldn't take this long to get a team back to sustainability, to a team that you know you feel like can go to the playoffs every year. And it's not fun to get those text messages. It's not fun to get those phone calls from friends. Because you know, you can laugh with them when the fans are laughing and how bad it is, but deep down, man, it hurts. It's not fun. It really hurts.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks to watch them play the way they did today. It sucks to watch them open up this year with all that hope that everybody had. And finally, they were going to move the right direction. And we finally had our quarterback, and they figured a lot of things out. And you were wondering in the background just looking at their roster like, man, this could go really bad if they get a few injuries here with the depth that they have. And if their quarterback's not playing well, and you wondered where they're going to get their pass rush from and how they're going to stop guys on defense, and everything kind of just hit at the same time, and it's hard to watch because of what already happened last year. You know, last year you're celebrating that first pick, but then you realize you're celebrating being the worst team in NFL, right? And you're celebrating that you are the absolute, like, if you're picking first, that means you were the worst team and you had a horrible season. So the year before wasn't good, right? The year before that wasn't good. It's just kind of all piling up. 2018, you get to the playoffs, and, you know, the double doink. You become a joke then, right? Oh, how about that double doink? How about that double doink? How about that, you know, that's enough. I've had enough of it, right? Aaron Rodgers owns us, right? Aaron Rodgers, I own them. And then Aaron Rodgers this week on the Pat McAfee show, right? Says, oh, tell Jordan Love, congratulations on continuing the ownership. It's just eventually everyone's got to get tired of it, change the standard in the building, and say that's enough.
Let's try Paul Pabst has called in. He's the executive producer of the Dan Patrick Show. He called our hotline. Paul, thank you for checking in. What do you got?
Guys, I always love to see you guys after the game. Not so much this one, but I guess we're going to do what we're going to do today. I know you're earning your money today. I was wondering if you noticed on the national game, they took it off. Bears were on the national TV. I'm out in Connecticut, and they took the game off Fox. But right before they did, I think there's maybe 13 and a half minutes left in the fourth. Justin Fields was trying to score. He took an elbow, looked to the head, yep. And then if you guys saw it afterwards, DJ Moore kind of either helped him back to the huddle or signaled to the sidelines that he needed help.
Yep.
Yeah, it seemed pretty clear that Fields, I don't know if it was a headshot or not, but seemed a little out of it. And then down 38 points, they put him back in the game. Now, it's very possible he cleared protocol or was checked out, but I cannot see, and Olin, you're the expert, putting your quarterback that you got and a lot invested in back into a game where you're down 38 points when you may or may not have just taken a headshot.
Yeah, Paul, I can see both sides of it. I can see Justin Fields going to the sideline, getting cleared and insisting on coming back in the game, right? I can see him saying, I want back in. And then at that point, like you're talking about, then it's on the coaches and it's on the trainers and the doctors to say, no, you like either he can or he can't. So as you know, nowadays, when you wade into that water, you don't know what's going on that sideline. They're supposed to have 30 to 40 different protocols there that he has to pass to get on the field after what happened with Tua Tagovailoa a year ago. So all I can think of is that I'm sure he passed every protocol and he insisted on getting back on that field to fight with his teammates. And that for me, one good thing that gave me hope today was that those guys kept coming back out there to play.
Yeah. Yeah, Olin, I'm with you. And, the protocol now, you've got to pass that. If he's passed that, you know, I don't think he's earned the right. Like, you know, Paul, you're talking about, you know, he's not the franchise quarterback yet. He's still being evaluated. He's got to go out there and play. And these games, I want to see him play. I want to see if he can come back when you got a loose defense. Can he still make these throws? And it's going to be an easier opportunity for him to make these passes. He hasn't earned the right to come out of the game yet. You haven't said, okay, we're down 41 or whatever. We need to pull him. No, I'm sorry. He still needs to play because I'm still evaluating him. I want to see how he can play in these situations, and I need as many reps as I can just to keep evaluating him.
It is a great question, though, because when that happened, there's a part of you that just thought, oh, get the kid off the field. Like, he's under siege. He's not going to be able to do anything. Like, what are you joking about? And I think it's Peterman is the backup, right? So you would have him get you out of the game. It's not like you'd be going to Tyson Bagent or, you know, making any kind of move that would create any controversy. But I was really surprised that Mahomes played at all in the second half because I thought with his ankle and who he is and how important he is to them, what's the point? I think the point is that football players want to play football.
Yeah, you can see here Gay is going for the peanut punch, actually.
Yeah.
And on the way for going for the peanut punch, elbows him right in his helmet, right in his face. And he takes a pretty good shot here. And as we talked about earlier, DJ Moore gets him off the field, and says, look, man, you got to come check this guy, and gets him out of the huddle. So, he takes a good shot. It's something I'm sure the NFL is going to look at, right? They look at all this stuff nowadays, and it's just like, it seems like everything else with the Bears this week, right? Like you got to project whatever may be going on out there, whether it be the D coordinator, whether it be what Fields is saying. Now it's a concussion problem. I know one day, maybe I'll be 82 years old. I'll come back and we'll just talk football on the postgame show.
So wait, you're 46. That's gonna be a long. So we got how many more coaches and GMs are we going through, Olin?
How many losing seasons is that?
And George just offered me 17.25.
Inflation,
exactly.
Oh my God! All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Score, and you're listening to the Great Clips Post Game Show, presented by Tullamore Dew.
11th play of the drive. Mahomes wafting end zone. There it is. A touchdown to Kelce.
Well, I think that picture sums up the day here for Kansas City. They're on top of the world. Two plays in a row. Andy Reid's trying to get his best player the ball, and just a great little nod shake route down in the goal line. And the Kelce Mahomes combination going to go down as one of the best ever.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips is going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, that was a great touchdown for Travis Kelce, and this is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. And we're pursuing and hopefully getting Taylor Swift on tomorrow to talk about the game. She seemed pretty – I don't think that would ever happen, mercifully. But she was there. Did you see her? She was talking to his mom. Yeah, nice to see those crazy kids have a chance. I think they're the same age.
I have four daughters and Pat has one. We knew that she was there. Trust me. It was 100. Mentioned a few times in my house.
Yep. Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah,
and I tell you what, though, I think the broadcast booth and Greg, they had to be happy she was there to give him something to talk about. You know what I mean? As that game went along, it's like, wait, all right, now we got something to talk about.
Has Greg done every Bears game?
He did the first one,
and not the second one. That's right.
So that's two. That's two. He's kind of a bad penny of a person. No offense to him. They can't really win with him watching.
No. He does a nice job. I think he does a great job.
Oh, Pat, he's really good at it, man.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
He's really good at analyzing the game. You can tell he studies and gets ready because he does a nice job, like you're saying.
Well, you knew he's a good talker. When he first walked in, he didn't shut his mouth. He'd be in the training room debating everybody. He was always talking.
And he kept saying, why don't we pass the ball? And we said, well, Greg, you know. We're kind of waiting on a passer.
Yeah, since Sid Luckman. It'll happen someday. Maybe it's Justin Fields. Maybe he turns his season around next week. You know, in fairness to everyone, there was a lot of stuff going on this week. We talked about the potential for distraction, and a distracted team has a hard time winning. So just balancing all the things that happened, you'd have to say they had a hard time winning.
But we knew going to this game what it was going to be. I mean, when you get an NFL line that's 13 points, I mean, that's just – and I'm kind of shocked, honestly, that they didn't change it, even with the injuries of Braxton Jones and things like that. I know we joked about it wasn't going to happen, why it didn't happen, but, you know, they got to be better than that.
Well, it's just, again, this was a hard game. This was a tough matchup for them. Kansas City, Arrowhead is a hard place to play against what people would consider the best quarterback coach combination in the NFL right now on offense, right? And a very good young and upcoming defense. And Greg talked on the broadcast, talked about a lot about the level this defense is playing at and how young they are. But this group, they have to play better. Like they're not going to walk. That's why they're not favored against Denver. Because when you look at their film, when you watch them play, and we know the guys in Vegas have people who know. When you watch this football team play on film, guys, that's what worries you the most, is that they are not very good, whether it be scheme, whether it be players, all together, all of them in that building. Better take a good look at what they're doing, the direction they're headed in, because they are not headed in the right direction.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, we know most likely they were going to lose, right? We talked about maybe lucky bounces, block kicks, just fluke plays or whatever. But this is the worst thing that could happen, to be embarrassed like that. I mean, that was embarrassing. I mean, it was just an all-out butt kicking. That's like the old high school games when you got the powerhouse going against the team and maybe just open up the new school and they're trying to build a program. It looked that bad, and that's embarrassing for an NFL team to have that happen to them. And then obviously we talked about the week leading up to it. It's just it's not good for this franchise right now, and it's just not leaving a good taste in all of our mouths.
Yeah, can you lose a team with a loss like that? I'm not trying. I mean, I'm saying the coach seems to have a precarious hold over this team to begin with, given the fact that they've lost, what is it now, 13 consecutive games, all by double-digit scores. That's a lot of losing, and that is difficult. You know, even if you improve, it's hard to imagine that you've got a way of kind of getting better now. Maybe the schedule turns for you. Maybe, you know, I haven't looked at it yet. We talked about the idea that they still had some 0-2 teams on their schedule. I believe six of them. I don't know who won or who hasn't. I haven't had a chance to sit down with it. But I'm just curious, can this sort of thing snowball on you when you have that bad a loss?
Yes. Yeah. Well, this sort of thing. By that, you mean this sort of game. The guy you vouched for, a defensive coordinator, is now fired or had to resign mid-season, right? That all goes to your credibility as a head coach. You're the guy who brought him in. Now he's gone. The players are wondering what the hell happened, right? Then we have a game like this. The things you've been preaching, the things you're asking us to do, they're not working in the game, right? So there's questions. The players are all looking at you. And we talked about going into the Kansas City game, going into what they went through this week. Who was going to lead them out of it? Would they circle the wagons? Would they circle around each other and play a good game? Well, we got our answer. The answer is no. Now they just lost a game like that in Kansas City where they got embarrassed. Again, we're asking the same question, right? Will they follow their coach? Can their coach get them going? Can they put them in the right position? Can Getsy unlock Justin Fields and get him to play good football from the pocket, get this offense to put the ball in the end zone? Can Eberflus, can Coach Travis Smith, the D-line coach, can they find pass rush somewhere, Pat? These questions, man, when you watch him on TV, you don't know where it's going to come from.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks to everyone. Want to wish a very big thank you to the fine folks at Aurelio's Pizza for delivering some great food for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app. Start earning rewards. Visit Aurelio's, aureliospizza.com, and you can order from the location nearest you. Aurelio's Pizza, it's the sauce. Thanks to our producer, Alex Kuhn, did a great job today. Carried us through it all. And gentlemen, I think, Olin, you'll be on with us tomorrow. We'll be live at 5:30. Myself and David Haw, we'll talk to you in the morning. Patrick, you're on, I believe, twice this week, but you'll be on Tuesday with Dan Bernstein and Lawrence Holmes on their show. I think are you on at 11?
I'm on 11 o'clock, and then Wednesday I'll be on with Spiegel and Parkins at 3 p.m.
Okay, great.
Can't miss radio. That's miss radio.
Yeah, I know you don't miss it, Olin.
Yeah. I don't.
That is definitely, no. It's called.
And I know why. Hold on. And I know why you don't miss it. It's so you can bust my balls later on.
That goes both ways. I'm sure.
Yes, it
goes both ways.
Thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back soon here on The Score.
Inflation,
exactly.
Oh my God! All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Score, and you're listening to the Great Clips Post Game Show, presented by Tullamore Dew.
11th play of the drive. Mahomes lofting end zone. There it is, the touchdown of Kelsey.
Well, I think that picture sums up the day here for Kansas City. They're on top of the world. Two plays in a row. Andy Reid's trying to get his best player the ball, and just a great little notch shake route down in the goal line. And the Kelsey Mahomes combination going to go down as one of the best ever.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips is going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, that was a great touchdown for Travis Kelce, and this is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew, and we're pursuing and hopefully getting Taylor Swift on tomorrow to talk about the game. She seemed pretty I don't think that would ever happen, mercifully. But she was there. Did you see her? Mm-hmm. She was talking to his mom. Yeah, nice to see those crazy kids have a chance. I think they're the same age.
I have four daughters, and Pat has one. We knew yep. that she was there. Trust me. It was 100. Mentioned a few times in my house.
Yep. Yep.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And I tell you what, though, I think the broadcast booth and Greg, they had to be happy she was there to give them something to talk about. You know what I mean? As that game went along, like, wait, all right, now we got something to talk about.
Has Greg done every Bears game?
He did the first one.
And not yeah. the second one. That's right.
So
yeah.
That's two.
That's
He's kind wow. of a bad penny of a person. No offense to him. They can't really win with him watching.
No. He does a nice job. I think he does a great job.
Oh, Pat, he's really good at it, man.
Yeah,
he's
impressed.
Really good at analyzing the game. You could tell he studies and gets ready because he does a nice job, like you're saying.
Well, you knew he's a good talker. When he first walked in, he didn't shut his mouth. He'd be in the training room debating everybody. He was always yeah. talking.
And he kept saying, why don't we pass the ball? And we said, well, Greg, you know. We're kind of waiting on a passer.
Yeah, since Sid Luckman. Mm-hmm. It'll happen someday. Maybe it's Justin Fields. Maybe he turns his season around next week. You know, in fairness to everyone, there was a lot of stuff going on this week. We talked mm-hmm. about the potential for distraction, and a distracted team, has a hard time winning. So just balancing all the things that happened, you'd have to say they had a hard time winning.
Yeah, but we knew going to this game what it was going to be. I mean, when you get an NFL line that's 13 points, I mean, that's just – and I'm kind of shocked, honestly, that they didn't change it, even with the injuries of Braxton Jones and things like that. I know we joked about it wasn't going to happen, why it didn't happen, but, you know, they got to be better than that.
Well, it's just, again, this was a hard game. This was a tough matchup for them. Kansas City, Arrowhead – is a hard place to play against what people would consider the best quarterback coach combination in the NFL right now on offense, right? And a very good young and upcoming defense. And Greg talked on the broadcast, talked about a lot about the level this defense is playing at and how young they are. But this team, these guys, this group, they have to play better. Like they're not gonna walk. That's why they're not favored against Denver. Because when you look at their film, when you watch them play, and we know the guys in Vegas have people who know. When you watch this football team play on film, guys, that's what worries you the most, is that they are not very good, whether it be scheme, whether it be players, all together, all of them in that building. Better take a good look at what they're doing, the direction they're headed in, because they are not headed in the right direction.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, we talked about, we know most likely we're going to lose, right? We talked about maybe lucky bounces, block kicks, just fluke plays or whatever. But this is the worst thing that could happen, to be embarrassed like that. I mean, that was embarrassing. I mean, it was just an all-out butt kicking. That's like the old high school games when you got the powerhouse going against the team that maybe just opened up the new school and they're trying to build a program. It looked that bad, and that's embarrassing for an NFL team to have that happen to them. And then obviously we talked about the week leading up to it. It's not good for this franchise right now, and it's just not leaving a good taste in all of our mouths.
Yeah, can you lose a team with a loss like that? I'm saying the coach seems to have a precarious hold over this team to begin with, given the fact that they've lost, what is it now, 13 consecutive games, all by double-digit scores. That's a lot of losing, and that is difficult. You know, even if you improve, it's hard to imagine that you've got a way of kind of getting better now. Maybe the schedule turns for you. Maybe, you know, I haven't looked at it yet. We talked about the idea that they still had some 0-2 teams on their schedule. I believe six of them. I don't know who won or who hasn't. I haven't had a chance to sit down with it. But I'm just curious, can this sort of thing snowball on you when you have that bad a loss?
Yes. Yeah. Well, this sort of thing. By that, you mean this sort of game. Mm-hmm. The guy you vouched for, a defensive coordinator, is now fired or had to resign midseason, right? That all goes to your credibility as a head coach. You're the guy who brought him in. Now he's gone. The players are wondering what the hell happened, right? Then we have a game like this. The things you've been preaching, the things you're asking us to do, they're not working in the game, right? So there's questions. The players are all looking at you. And we talked about going into the Kansas City game, going into what they went through this week, who was going to lead them out of it? Would they circle the wagons? Would they circle around each other and play a good game? Well, we got our answer. The answer is no. Now they just lost the game like that in Kansas City where they got embarrassed. Again, we're asking the same question, right? Will they follow their coach? Can their coach get them going? Can they put them in the right position? Can Getsy unlock Justin Fields and get him to play good football from the pocket, get this offense to put the ball in the end zone? Can Eberflus, can Coach Travis Smith, the D-line coach, can they find pass rush somewhere, Pat? These questions, man, when you watch him on TV, you don't know where it's going to come from.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks to everyone. Want to wish a very big thank you to the fine folks at Aurelio's Pizza for delivering some great food for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app. Start earning rewards. Visit Aurelio's, aureliospizza.com, and you can order from the location nearest you. Aurelio's Pizza. It's the sauce. Thanks to our producer, Alex Kuhn. Did a great job today. Carried us through it all. And gentlemen, I think, Olin, you'll be on with us tomorrow. We'll be live at 5:30. Myself and David Haw will talk to you in the morning. Patrick, you're on, I believe, twice this week, but you'll be on Tuesday with Dan Bernstein and Lawrence Holmes on their show. I think are you on at 11?
I'm on 11 o'clock, and then Wednesday I'll be on with Spiegel and Parkins at 3 p.m.
Okay, great.
Can't miss radio. That's can't miss radio.
Yeah, I know you don't miss it, Olin.
Yeah. I don't.
That is definitely, no. It's called.
And I know why, hold on, and I know why you don't miss it. It's so you can bust my balls later on.
That goes both ways, I'm sure.
Yes, it
goes both ways.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back soon here on The Score.